Got it? There we go. Now that's preaching. That'll help you. The emphasis is we better keep our eyes on Jesus and focus on him. He ain't never tore up about a storm. Have you ever heard such? He's just touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I praise God for that preaching. Amen. Want you to stand for a moment. We're going to have our next message. Then we're going to have some singing. We're going to worship here today. We're going to hear the word of God. We're going to get help. I want Brother Alan Fox to come around. Brother Alan has just assumed the pastorate at Beulah Baptist Church, and I appreciate this man of God. He's always been a friend to camp meeting. He's always been a friend of mine. He's got a mind that's brilliant. I mean, he reads stuff. He's got a photographic memory. I don't have that, but I appreciate men who do. And I appreciate the God he serves and the preaching that he does. He helps us. I want you to hear him gladly this morning while he preaches what God's laid on his heart.
Love you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'd like to turn with us there, please, for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'd like to read one verse for right now. It's a joy to be here. Appreciate the message we just heard.
Amen.
Wonderful. Old but ever new, isn't it?
Amen.
It's old but ever new. Amen. It's about Jesus, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. It's like men that go into the woods to find wood. It's all wood. You go in the Bible looking for Jesus, you'll find him. Amen. It's all Jesus. He said in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Amen. He told us it's all about him. That's why everybody that loves Jesus loves the Bible. Because it's from him and it's about him. Amen. Amen. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God.
Amen.
4 or 5 times in this passage you find that word foolishness. It means something that's absurd, even silly, insane. Not a word I use a whole lot, foolishness. But this text says that the preaching of the cross is to the lost people foolishness. To them that perish is foolishness. But on the other hand, it says to those that are saved, it's the power of God. Yes. The preaching of the cross. You know, you don't really like preaching till you get saved. And then you just can't get enough. It's kind of like eating. You do it because you need it and because you enjoy it. Amen. You feed your body every day. You ought to feed your soul every day. Amen. It wouldn't hurt you to hear preaching every day. Amen. Amen. I've been saved 49 years, and I just can't get enough. Amen. And as Brother Dana always says, it's not something new many times, just something old, something we already know.
Amen.
When you get to heaven, it'll be the same song we've been singing all along. Amen. Redeemed by the blood, we've been singing that all along. Not something new. This world resents preaching. It's foolishness to them. The very act of it, they're convicted. They can drive down the interstate, see some fellows out on the side of the road preaching and not be able to hear a word they say, but they know they're preaching. And they resent it. That convicts them, reminds them what they need to do. It's foolishness to the world, the content of the message. The very fact that somebody would stand up and say, God's called me to preach. God's called me to devote my life to preach the gospel. The world says, why, you wasted your life. What a waste. Look, you're not going, you could have had power, positions, prominence, and you're going to give your life to preaching about somebody that died on a cross 2,000 years ago? They think that's foolishness. And they'll tell you that. Yeah. But here's the thing about it. Everybody listens to preaching all the time. They just don't call it preaching. You go home and turn on your TV. I promise you that TV will preach to you and try to persuade you to buy certain products and to think and act a certain way. 100% of the time you're watching it, that thing is preaching to you. So don't tell me you don't listen to preaching. You just get to choose what kind you listen to. And you just show me how you live, and I'll tell you who's been preaching to you. That's right. You can't hide it. Your attitude is showing 100% of the time. And your life, you are a preacher. Your life preaches every minute of every day and says to people it's a good thing to be saved, or says to people, this is about killing me, and I hope you don't have nothing to do with it. Hello, amen. We're all preachers, and we all listen to preaching all the time. The Greeks, they just couldn't understand. It was foolishness to them to hear that somebody who died on a cross in shame and apparent failure and disgrace had started a religion, and the people were willing to live and die for it and call it the only way. What they didn't understand is that that is exactly what he intended to do. He was not a helpless victim. He died on the cross on purpose. It was not failure. It was victory. They stumbled over it. The Jews wanted miracles. They had miracles, and they still didn't believe. If a man cannot come and hear the gospel and repent and believe and be saved, he wouldn't be saved if somebody was turning cartwheels upside down and jumping up and touching the moon. Folks, it ain't miracles that convinces people. It's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. And if you can't get saved that way, you'll never get saved. Well, it's foolishness to some, but it's the power of God to me. It's the truth to me. It's joy to me. It's light to me. It's hope to me. He says in a few verses down that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the necessity of it and the supremacy of it. We've had far too much psychotherapy and mysticism, and we've tried programs, pep, politicking, picnicking, and everything in the world. Why don't we try preaching? Just old-fashioned Bible, leather lung, no apology preaching. Hell hot, heaven sweet, sin black, and eternity long, just preaching. You remember? That's how you got saved. The necessity of it. The supremacy of preaching. I love it. I need it. Amen. God didn't call you to entertain the goats. He called you to feed the sheep. I don't like this new trend today
that says, let's tone it down. Let's be more casual. Let's be more monotone. Let's not offend anybody. Let's be market driven. Let's take out the altars. Let's not have an invitation. We might offend somebody. Let's just slide the pulpit over to the side. You know, let's just tickle their ears and maybe they'll come back. Hogwash. You didn't find that in the Bible. No. We're not supposed to make the message acceptable. We make it available, and people are going to have to do with it what they will, and it's between them and God. You just make sure you told them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. People need preaching. If there's ever been a generation that needs it, preaching and needs it straight from a heart of love and from the infallible word of God, it's this generation that's confused and lost, and part of it's our fault. Yeah, it is. The authority of preaching. Isn't it wonderful when you preach, you can say God said it and that settles it? Amen. Preachers shouldn't get up and say, that's right because I said it. No, sir. It's true because God said it, and that settles it. And you can preach with the authority of heaven and not have to back up or water it down or tone it down. Just say, thus saith the Lord, and that's it. Period. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. Preach the word. Amen. My grandma said the Bible will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. One day it's going to be Jesus and you in front of an open Bible. You just make sure you line up with the Bible. It don't have to line up with you. You line up with it. You don't judge the Bible. It judges you. It doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. It doesn't have to be improved. It came out right the first time. God is well able to express himself. Amen. To inspire and preserve. Amen. People say that's foolishness. That's the power of God to me. Amen. The preaching of the cross. Amen. I knew a preacher. He was in Israel. And he saw a bunch of people on the sidewalk. And he said, "Hey, I'm sure they're all lost. I'm sure they're all Muslims. And I'm going to preach to them." So he did. For an hour, he preached to them. And then the tour guide said, "Hey, preacher, they don't speak English." So he said, "Well, it's too late now. I done told them. Just tell them anyway, amen." Hey, I found out as a preacher, I've been preaching 42 years now, if you can get one person to get on the same plane as you, you can preach, amen. Just look at if, amen. It makes a difference. It helps a preacher when you say amen. I heard of a preacher, he's preaching revival, and about every 2 minutes somebody'd holler, amen. But he couldn't see who it was. After the service, he said, "Preacher, who was that saying amen? That was a big help to me." He said, "It was nobody here." He said, "We have it on a CD, and the CD man plays it about every 2 minutes. Amen. You might want to put that in your sound system. Amen. It'll help you. Some people won't know the difference. They won't know the difference. And if you have to tell people where to say amen, they ain't got it. Amen. You'll know when to say amen. Amen. That's one reason you know you got saved. You know where to say amen. The Holy Ghost agrees with it. Amen. Amen. The authority of preaching. Amen. Just read yourself full. Amen. Think yourself clear. Pray yourself hot and let yourself go. Amen. And guess what? Somebody will be saved. Psalm 126, 6 says doubtless. Amen. It's worth it. If just one more walks down the aisle, one more poor sinner finds Jesus and gets saved, it'd be worth it. Might be your boy, your grandchild, might be the worst drunk in town. Ain't you glad somebody preached to you one day and loved you enough to tell you the truth and might have even, bless your heart, offended you, but you got saved and now you love that man of God. And if he steps on your toes, you say, Ronnie Bearfield, one camp meeting, Brother Danny was up here preaching and Brother Ronnie was saying, come on, tell me more. I want, waving his hand, tell him. That's what you ought to do when the preacher preaches. Amen, preacher, tell it. Come on, tell it. I'm with you. If you go after 12 o'clock, that's okay. I'm with you. Amen. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you when you show your greatest spirituality. Are you ready? It's during the invitation. If you fiddle around with your pocketbook and put on your shoes and hope this thing's over, you're as dead spiritually as you can be. What you're supposed to do is pray, oh God, help our preacher. Holy Ghost, draw some lost sinner. Lord, there's families in here that needs help. If you can't have a prayerful attitude during the invitation, you're backslid. Ain't that right? We didn't write the Bible, we just preach it. Amen. Amen. That liberal said to Ralph Sexton Jr., why are you always saying this is right and that's wrong? And why are you saying marriage is between a man and a woman? Who do you think you are? Why do you draw the line? Brother Ralph said, I didn't draw that line. God drew that line. I just point to it. Amen. Amen. I don't have to make up nothing. All I have to do is tell you what God said in black and white, in bold print. Wrote it and preserved it. I don't have to make up a thing. Amen? You just say what God said. And it'll be right and it'll be true. The power of preaching. Amen. Brother Mace Jackson was preaching in Jamaica. He said he heard a man on the sidewalk preaching communism. He said that man said if we'll just go to being communist, he said, it'll help our economy and it'll put a new coat on every man. And then Brother Mays got up and said, I heard this fella and I want to tell you about Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you get saved, it won't put a new coat on the old man, but it'll put a new man in the old coat. Amen. 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 A new man with a new song. And new desires, and a new nature, and a new master, and a new destiny. Amen. Nothing else will change you from the inside out. And make you love everybody, and do when you're dying, and take you to heaven. It's the power of God to salvation. It's the dynamo. It's the dynamite. It'll blow the devil right out of you. Amen. And as Oliver B. Green said, there's nothing wrong with this country that 6 months of hellfire and damnation wouldn't cure. Amen. You say, I don't preach on hell. Well, you need to resign and get out of the way. You're a compromiser. Jesus was a great preacher, and he preached on hell. And if you preach the whole Bible, you'll preach on hell and heaven too. Preach it all. Preach the whole counsel. Preach from Genesis to Revelation. Preach it all because you love people and because it's true. Amen. You remember when that fella, I won't call his name, but he spoke against LGBT and then they got mad at him and he got up and apologized to I'm talking about a well-known preacher and author and apologized and said, I take all that back and those people are the children of God. That's compromise. Hey, you need to go back and read 1 Corinthians 6 one more time, and it'll tell you who's going to heaven and who ain't. And if we love people, we'll tell them the truth. We'll tell them the truth. Vance Havner said every message ought to give you a shock or a charge. Amen? Make you sad or glad or mad. Amen. Don't water. Hey, when people hear you preach and walk out, they ought to know what you said, not be scratching their head and thinking, well, that was harmless. That was well deodorized and disinfected. That didn't bother me one bit. Sinners should be uncomfortable at the house of God. Especially when 40 people stand up and testify and they know they ain't got nothing. That's why people don't get saved for one reason. You acting just like them, you just as silent and critical and cold as they are. Amen or old me. That's right. God's men shouldn't be for sale. There's two times to preach, in season and out of season. Amen. And don't get mad at your preacher. He's just delivering the mail. You don't get mad at your mailman for bringing the bills. He's just bringing the mail. Don't get mad at the preacher. He didn't write the Bible. He's not your enemy. The man that tells you the truth is the best friend you got. Shake his hand and say, I needed that. Thank you very much. Don't get mad at the preacher. And preachers, be sure and preach it to yourself before you preach it to anybody else. Amen. I'll be done just a minute. Let's remember we're going to give an account of what we say and do, preachers. You just make sure what you tell them is right. Amen? Because you're going to face that message again. You make sure you told them the truth. We had a daughter that went to a university, and one of her professors was the chair of religion, and she was also a quote-unquote a woman pastor. No such thing, but she thought she was. And she told the class one day, she said, I'm a pastor and preach, and she said, but I find it so hard. She said, it's all the world I can do to preach for 12 minutes to my congregation. And I thought, well, you don't believe nothing. It's a wonder you can even talk for a minute. You don't believe a single thing in the Bible. She said, I can't hardly speak for 12 minutes. And she said, I just don't know where to get a message or anything. Our daughter went up to her and said, this won't tell you, my daddy's a preacher, and he don't seem to have no trouble preaching 12 minutes. And besides that, he gets his messages from God. That'll make a difference. Mm-hmm. God didn't call you to preach a book. He called you to preach the book. And get your message from God. The world says that's foolishness. I say that's the power of God. Amen.